السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ تأذن ربكم لئن شكرتم لأزيدنكم ولئن كفرتم إن عذابي لشديد. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الطاعم الشاكر كالصائم الصابر، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, and also our sisters listening over receivers. In today's talk, I wish to discuss a very important quality which every believer and every person needs to adopt in his life. And it is such a quality which myself and many people tend to overlook. Yet it is such a wonderful quality that when a person really ponders and looks into this quality, we find that in it lies the solution to so many problems, so many difficulties, and it becomes a great assistance and an aid to overcome the obstacles and the hurdles and the difficulties which one experiences in our lives. We find that in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created insan, has created man in different stages of his life, in which he will always find there will always be some difficulty or the other, or some obstacle or some hurdle that he will have to overcome. Whether it's the poorest man or the wealthiest man, there will always be some difficulty, some area in his life wherein he will experience some type of difficulty. Even a little baby, we find that it also has its set of difficulties and problems. So, as Allah Ta'ala mentions, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. We have created man in toil. From the time we are born right till the time we pass away, there is always some type of difficulty. When a child, a little baby is born, then it has its set of difficulties. Sometimes it's wind, sometimes it's sickness, sometimes it's sleeplessness, or sometimes it's teething problems. And as we go higher and higher, we find that as a person becomes a youngster, then he faces different challenges in his life, emotional challenges. And as he goes higher in life, we find that now responsibilities and different difficulties that come with these responsibilities. And as we approach old age, then we know the problems that we find in old age, the sicknesses and the tiredness, etc., etc. Because after all, this world is a place full of difficulty. It's an imperfect world. This is not Jannah. So Allah Ta'ala has given us this beautiful quality, which if we adopt in our lives, we'll find that life will become so easy. And this quality is the quality of shukr, the quality of gratitude, of being grateful. And it is such a great quality. I was reading through the kitabs, you know, to see what the ulama ikram state, because after all, what we state on the minbar is merely quotations. Now, ulama-i kiram have done tremendous work in the different fields of Islam, and they've defined almost every single aspect which the Muslim and the mu'min requires in his life. So, the ulama-i kiram have mentioned with regard to this quality of shukr, that it's such a great quality that we find in the Qur'an-i-Kareem, Allah Ta'ala mentions with regards to dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ, that the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala is the greatest. And we always hear from Hazrat Maulana that dhikrullah is in different forms. In short, to always be in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever command of Allah ta'ala is focused on us at a particular moment, to fulfill that command and that injunction. If, for example, the parents are not feeling well, now if a person says, no, he's going to perform nawafil, salah, and neglect his parents, so now he is not fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is not in the dhikr and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in that circumstance, if he then tends to his family, his parents, and he sees to them, then we say that this person is in the obedience and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, after all, the reason for which we have been created. So in the ayat-e-kareema, Allah ta'ala, what the dhikr of Allah ta'ala, side by side, Allah ta'ala has mentioned the quality of shukr, which we hear in our various Jummah khutbahs, many imams recite it. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَشْكُرُونِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ Allah ta'ala says, you remember me, I will remember you. وَشْكُرُونِي And be grateful to me. وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ And do not be ungrateful. So what the dhikr of Allah ta'ala has mentioned immediately after that shukr, clearly showing the greatness of this quality of shukr. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ That Allah ta'ala will not punish His servants if they have the gist of the ayah, if they have these qualities of iman and shukr. So this quality of shukr is such a great quality, respected elders and brothers, that if we adopt it in our lives, we will ultimately earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the hadith which I quoted, Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that the fasting person who exercises patience and the person who eats food, but he is grateful upon the food which Allah ta'ala has given him, they are equal in rank. That is why it is mentioned of one great tabi'i, if I am not mistaken. When he was questioned with regards to the statement of one person, one pious person had said that I prefer that Allah ta'ala puts me through whatever trial and I am pleased with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and exercise sabr. And another pious person mentioned that I prefer that Allah ta'ala blesses me with abundant blessings and I express gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he questioned this tabi that which of the two people are better, which is more beloved to you. So he thought about it. And then he says that in the Quran Sharif we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Ayyub alayhi salam. And upon his sabr, Allah ta'ala mentioned that Allah ta'ala was pleased with him. And on the other hand, Allah ta'ala blessed Sulaiman alayhi salam. And then Allah ta'ala showed that he was pleased with him because of his gratitude. So he says, I then preferred that I rather go through the road of shukr. That means Allah ta'ala blesses me with great abundant ni'mah. And then I am grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this quality of gratitude, respected elders and brothers, now we need to understand what is gratitude. Is it merely an utterance with the tongue that, oh, shukr, alhamdulillah, things are going very well? Is it merely confined to that? No, let us look at the Quran Kareem and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how they have defined and understood gratitude. Ulama-i kiram have explained that gratitude and gratefulness is that firstly we identify the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now if you look presently, I am giving a talk. I would never have been able to be standing where I am standing if it was not for the ni'mats and the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ability to speak, the tongue which is moving to the various portions of the mouth from which the various letters originate. Now who is causing that tongue to move? Who is the one who created that tongue? Who is the one who gave the ability of the tongue to speak? And then the thoughts which are being translated into words. Who is the one who put the thoughts into the mind or gave the mind the ability to retain that information which had been read or which had been heard? It is none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the thoughts which came in the mind are a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those thoughts being translated into words and then being pronounced from the mouth is again the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the energy of being able to stand and being able to perform all these functions again. A person will say that it is the food which he ate. Now if we look at the food again, if this morning, for argument's sake, we had a cup of tea. So the tea bag, if you look at the tea bag, there is a whole history behind the tea bag. The trucks that were used to transport it, the plant that was used, and the various equipment that were used. All these things are again a combination of the various bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then if we take the milk, for example, that is put in the tea, again, some dairy somewhere, some cow, the grass again, a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the water which descended, which caused the grass to grow, the cow, and that whole system of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the blood of the cow into milk again, subhanallah, what a great unique system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how the milk reached our tables. So the energy then was derived from there, again, a combination of the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you who are listening, the ability to hear, a person who is deaf, he is sitting in this majma, in this gathering, he would not be able to hear anything. All he would see is movements from the speaker. But you being able to hear the words which are being said, and then those words going into the mind and being understood again. There are many people who can hear, but they do not have the faculty of understanding. So again, a combination of the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then if you get the tawfiq of amal again, it's nothing but the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person, when any difficulty comes upon him, if he looks around him, he'll find that one ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is countless. You cannot count it. As Allah ta'ala mentions, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you count one blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will never be able to encompass it. Now a person, if he looks in his life, and the nature of insan is such, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا. When any difficulty comes upon insan, he becomes very impatient. We cannot take any difficulty. So a person, if he adopts this quality of shukr, of being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then when a difficulty, when any hardship, when any takleef comes in his life, if he looks around him, he'll find that Allah ta'ala has given him so many different avenues for which he should be so grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who is sick, if he looks around him, his eyes are still functioning. That is why we hear from Hazrat Maulana, he quotes always the incident of one wali of Allah ta'ala, one friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he was suffering from some fever. So when they came to him and they asked him, how are you feeling? So he said, Alhamdulillah, my eyes are functioning very well. Alhamdulillah, I'm able to hear properly. Alhamdulillah, I'm able to see properly. Alhamdulillah, I'm able to do so, this and this and this. The only thing is that I just have a little bit of fever. In other words, he focused first at all the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then by way of information, he merely said that I am not feeling well. And Maulana always explains this by way of information, because when any difficulty comes upon us, then we will tell a person, but not by way of information, we're complaining. That I don't know, I'm always getting sick and this is always happening to me and why? So by way of information is when a person, for example, goes to the doctor and the doctor says, what is wrong with you? Then you inform the doctor so that he can give you some type of cure. So when we are telling a person by way of information, we have the hope that inshallah he will make dua that Allah gives us some shifa. Or the person will assist us if he is a doctor. So may Allah ta'ala grant us this ability of not complaining when any difficulty comes upon us and then focusing on the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Comes to mind that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha mentioned with regards to Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there are many ahadith of this nature, that once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came home and he came into the bed with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, and then suddenly he asked her permission that will she grant him permission to engage in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to engage in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She then said that I would love more that you are with me, because I love to be with you. But then again, I also love to see you being happy, and I know it will be more happy. I am happy with your wish. And this was true love. True love is that we want to please the beloved. So in any case, she gave permission to Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She then, when she narrates this hadith, she cries and she says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went, he performed his wudu, And then he went on to the musalla. And she said, he cried and he cried and he cried. He cried in his qiyam, he cried in his ruku, he cried in his sajda. Right until Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu came to inform Rasulullah s.a.w. that the time of Fajr has set in. After this, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she inquired from Rasulullah s.a.w. that, Ya Rasulullah, why are you crying so much when Allah Ta'ala has forgiven all your sins? He then turned to her and he said, أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a grateful servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this was the level of gratitude, the highest level of gratitude, which was found in none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he also further mentioned that Allah ta'ala has revealed to me certain verses. So in gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there are many ahadith of this nature, wherein Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed such gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet we know the difficulties that which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced. So if a person will focus on the ni'mets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and engross himself in the ni'mets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we find that this will be a cure to many, many problems. For example, a person who is suffering from depression. Now if he adopts this quality of gratitude and he focuses on all the things that Allah ta'ala has blessed him with, rather than focusing on what he does not have, we'll find that this person, his depression will go also, because he will be a happy person. Similarly, it is a secret for getting this quality of contentment, which we know is a missing ingredient in our society, that every person wants more. He is not happy with what he has. Yet we know in the Hadith Sharif, Rasulullah s.a.w. has exhorted us and has encouraged us that look at those people who are beneath us. If a person has got one car, then he should look at that person who doesn't have a car. Look at the person who's walking on his feet. If a person has got a bicycle, he must look at the person who's walking on his feet. And if the person is walking, he must look at the person who doesn't even have feet, as is mentioned over the Sheikh Saadi Shirazi, rahmatullah, if I'm not mistaken. Where he said, as a young boy, he was complaining to his father that he doesn't have shoes. So his father took him for Jum'ah Salah to the Jami Masjid. And there he saw a person with no feet crawling to the masjid. He said, after that he never ever complained for not having shoes. So if we look at people who are lower than us, then again we will be grateful for what we have. So it is a cure for contentment. And then again it is also a cure for ujab, which Hazrat Maulana focused a lot in this Ramadan, vanity. May Allah Ta'ala remove it from us. This quality of being, as we say, self-conceited. We are focusing on ourselves. And I was mentioning to some students the other day that if we look even at the dua when we are looking into the mirror, then the dua, the masnoon dua that we are taught when we are looking into the mirror is that Allahumma anta hassanta khalqi fahassin khuluqi. Now when we are looking at into the mirror, we are admiring ourselves. Or we are trying to admire ourselves, or we are trying to make ourselves look good. And there's nothing wrong with that in Sharia. A person must be presentable. But where a person starts regarding it as his achievement, that is where the problem comes about. So this, in this hadith, in this dua, there is a cure for a person. That we making this dua that, oh Allah, Allahumma anta hassanta khalqi. And I look at that, Allah Ta'ala brought the anta before. Again for emphasis. That Ya Allah, only you are the one who has beautified my appearance. Because after all, who is the one who fashioned us in the manner that we are? Who put the eye on the one side and the eye on the other side, the nose in the center. Beautiful Allah Ta'ala created man. It is Allah Ta'ala who beautified us. It is not our achievement. So rather than focusing on ourselves, we have turned our focus and our attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who gave, the giver of those ni'mas. So Allahumma anta hassanta khalqi. Oh Allah, you are the one who has beautified me. فَحَسِّنْ خُلُقِي. So just as you have beautified my external features, beautify my internal features, my character. So again we are focusing. So if a person adopts this quality of shukr, then inshallah this ujab, where a person has the quality of vanity, of being self-conceited, it will slowly but surely leave him. Any ni'mat, a person praises a person, he is a doctor. Oh, you are a wonderful doctor. So now he says, though he feels in his heart, it's my achievement. I am very good. But then if he focuses and thinks to himself, that who is the one who gave me all these faculties and all these abilities, and who gave me the time, and who made it possible for me to go to the university, and made it possible for me to understand, and made it possible for me to pass all the various tests and papers and examinations, and then achieve my results, he will realize that it is nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you look at the Quran Sharif, the opening chapter, the opening verse of the Quran Sharif, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Hazrat Maulana mentions, and it comes in, the, if I'm not mistaken, Tafsir al-Baydawi, wherein any praise which is given to a person, either a person is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the various forms, we praise another person, or Allah praises that person. So all praises, in whichever form they may be, again it returns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if we praise a person, at the end of the day, who gave that person that good quality? If it is wealth, who is the person who made it such that the person was born in a wealthy family? If a person has got handsome features, or she is beautiful, or she has good qualities, who is the one who gave her those good qualities or those good features? It is none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us the ability to adopt this wonderful quality of shukr in our lives. Because we find in another verse of Quran Sharif, Allah ta'ala mentions, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. There are very few of my servants who have this quality of shukr. So let us make a firm intention while we are sitting here, that myself as the speaker and those who are listening, let us now adopt this quality of shukr in our lives, because Allah has promised great reward for shukr. In the opening verse which I recited, Allah ta'ala mentions that Allah ta'ala has announced that if you are grateful, la in shakartum, if you are grateful, la azidannakum, I will increase my bounties upon you. So what a great thing if a person has the quality of shukr over the ni'mats which Allah ta'ala has blessed him with, then Allah ta'ala will increase those bounties in the various forms. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us the ability to adopt good qualities in our lives and to remove the evil qualities from our lives. And if each and every one of us does this, we will have a wonderful society in which we will have nothing but love, kindness, compassion, generosity and understanding. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He removes the difficulties and the hardships of the entire Muslim ummah and the entire creation. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.